Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our unit on research today, and we're talking about something called the Stanford Prison Experiment, An Inconvenient Truth. So this isn't about climate change, folks. This one's about some kind of a behavior that people have if they are prison guards.
Yeah, they did this interesting study a long time ago in 1971, where some students were going to participate in a study and pretend that some were prisoners while some were prison guards, and how they acted, what their behavior was like. It was kind of scary. Actually, I saw something on TV a couple of years ago. They had made a movie out of this experiment, and it was pretty disturbing.
It was the Stanford Prison Experiment, and it basically is telling us that we may not be as nice as we think we are. If we get in a position of power, we might actually abuse it, even though, hey, I'm an angel, I won't do that. Think again, folks, you might have the devil lurking down there inside of you.
But,
hey, let's get to it, everybody. Let's read the entire contents of today's lesson, and then we'll come back to discuss it. In the summer of 1971, a group of volunteers descended to the basement of the psychology building at Stanford University. 24 participants, all of them Stanford undergraduates, were about to experience simulated prison life as part of an experiment conducted by psychology professor Philip Zimbardo. The volunteers were randomly divided into two groups, 12 prisoners and 12 guards. They were set to carry out the experiment for up to 14 days, but things quickly took a turn for the worse. Zimbardo acted as superintendent of the prison. To test the effects of depersonalization, the prisoners were referred to by assigned numbers, not by their names. Guards in the prison were given free rein to do as they pleased and punished the prisoners when they tried to revolt. Zimbardo looked on and did nothing as guards imposed psychological torture on the prisoners. The treatment was degrading, but Zimbardo allowed it to continue until his girlfriend found out what was going on. She objected to the experiment, and Zimbardo ended it early. Zimbardo concluded that given the right circumstances, seemingly ordinary people can be cruel. The 24 subjects were all common students without any criminal background. However, in the mock prison, the guards became aggressive and abusive, while the prisoners were submissive and desperate. Even Zimbardo became engrossed in his role and let the mistreatment continue. This landmark psychology study demonstrates how strong a role environment plays in human behavior. Zimbardo later confessed in his book, The Lucifer Effect, that only a few people were able to resist the situational temptations to yield to power and dominance while maintaining some semblance of morality and decency.
Okay, everybody, let's dive in. We're going to talk about this prison experiment that was conducted at Stanford University. That's out in California. The subtitle here is An Inconvenient Truth. Inconvenient is an adjective that means something causing trouble or problems for you. A lot of people don't like to hear that if they were in a particular situation, they would react badly, especially people who are suddenly given power over others, that they would be a little cruel, a little harsh, maybe even abusive to others. That's kind of a scary thought. Let's talk about this experiment. It happened a long time ago, in the summer of 1971. Now, the people that were involved in the experiment were college students. They were a group of volunteers. So they said, yeah, I'll do it, professor, sure. Add me to your experiment.
Have you ever done a volunteer study in university before, Stephanie?
No.
I actually did something here in Taiwan. Somebody was interviewing people who spoke two languages, and how they would describe cartoons, of all things. That was kind of interesting. But, universities do that kind of thing all the time. They conduct research. And, of course, if you're conducting research, you're going to have a group of volunteers, people who offer your services without pay. and they descended to the basement of the psychology building on the campus of Stanford University. So in this sentence, we have the verb to descend, which means to go from a higher place to a lower place. Of course, an airplane needs to descend before it can land.
They went to the basement of a building. This was the psychology building at Stanford. Psychology is the study of the mind and behavior. So they were in the basement, the very lowest level. They had 24 participants. So they had 24 kids or students who volunteered. If you participate in something, if you're involved in something, it means you are a participant. So all of them were Stanford undergraduates. An undergraduate, that's a noun. It just means a student at a college or university who hasn't graduated with their degree yet. They haven't earned their bachelor's degree yet. So they're still in school, and they were about to experience simulated prison life as part of this experiment. If it's simulated, it's made to look or feel like the real thing, but it's not real. So it must have looked like they were in a prison when they went down to the basement. Maybe there were rooms that were locked with bars on them. I don't know. But that's what I'm thinking that they probably did. They wanted it to look like they were in a real prison because it was simulated prison life.
Simulated. If you're a film student, for example, and you're going to have a violent scene in which somebody gets shot, well, you might use ketchup to simulate blood. It's like blood, but it kind of pretends to be blood, but it really isn't blood. So here it's a simulated prison. It's kind of a fake prison, and they want to experience simulated prison life as part of this experiment. And, of course, if you're having an experiment, you conduct that experiment. To conduct something means that you're in charge of it and you do things to make it happen. There are also, what are they called, directors, or I guess conductors, who conduct symphony orchestras. They kind of make things happen. They wave their baton in the air. And here, of course, this person conducted the experiment, and his name was Professor Philip Zimbardo.
Mm-hmm. Now, the volunteers, the 24 students, were randomly divided into two groups. 12 were prisoners and 12 were prison guards. The ones that had the power were the guards, of course. If something happens randomly, it means you do it without planning. You don't have a particular pattern that something's done in or a particular plan. It just happens. You can choose things randomly. Things can be done randomly. So they just kind of divided them up. They weren't in particular groups because of their personalities at all. They just said, you here, you here, you here. It was random. They were set to carry out the experiment for up to 14 days.
Ooh.
2 weeks being in this simulated prison. No thanks.
How can students have 14 days off from classes, huh?
Maybe it was amazing. During a holiday break.
Could have been during winter break or during summer break.
Yeah.
But here it says things quickly took a turn for the worse. Uh-oh, that just means things got worse. Things were not good anymore. Took a turn for, that's from the phrase to take a turn for, usually we say the worse, which means basically, as I said, things got worse, and usually it means it wasn't really expected. Like, they were predicting that the typhoon was not going to be severe, but hey, things took a turn for the worse, and it rained like crazy, and there were landslides everywhere.
Now, if it gets better, you would say things took a turn for the better. So it's a change in some sort of state or condition. Zimbardo, the professor, he's a professor of psychology. His role was to act as superintendent of the prison. If you're a superintendent, you're a person who directs or manages a place or a department. You're supervising, that's the verb form, and that was his role in this whole experiment.
He's kind of overseeing what's happening. He's kind of sitting back in a position to watch it and to test the effects of depersonalization. The prisoners were referred to by assigned numbers and not by their real names. Here we have the term depersonalization. Ooh, that's a mouthful there, depersonalization. It's kind of hard to pronounce. Practice it a few times and you'll get it. And that basically means that you're trying to train someone so they don't really have an identity.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of feel that they're part of a group. They kind of do this if you join the army, for example. You've got to get rid of your ideas, your own personal ideas, and you've got to think for the group and stuff. So they might try to humiliate you with training and stuff like that. They try to depersonalize you, or they also do that in prisons as well.
To do this, the prisoners were referred to by assigned numbers. Referred to here means they were called, they were talked about or mentioned by assigned numbers. So if you assign something, you pass out or give people certain responsibilities or whatever it is that they're getting. Here they gave numbers to the students who were acting as prisoners. They were assigned. They didn't get to pick their own number. They were given those numbers, and they were not called by their names. They were called numbers. Hey, number 12, get over here. Hey, number 6, shut up.
Ooh, right. When I see assigned numbers, it makes me think of assigned seats. When I was in school, of course, most of the times we had assigned seats, places where we were supposed to sit. We could not sit where we wanted to.
Or with your friends.
Exactly. Sometimes the teachers wanted to keep you away from your friends so you wouldn't talk to each other and cause disturbances and things like that. Well, here's the next paragraph. It says, guards in the prison were given free rein to do as they pleased and punished the prisoners when they tried to revolt. Ooh, that doesn't sound good here. In this sentence, we have the phrase free rein, be given free rein to do something. Rain here is not the water that falls from the sky. This is spelled R-E-I-N, and that is related to what, those straps that we use to control horses mm-hmm. when we ride them, except those are reins with an S on here. But in this phrase, we take the S off. Free rein, basically that means you can do whatever you want. There are no restrictions.
Yeah, so you have the opportunity to act freely, free rein, to do as you please. So those guards had a lot of power, and they would punish the prisoners, their fellow students, their fellow classmates, when they tried to revolt. If you revolt, you're acting in a way that shows that you don't accept someone's control over you or their influence over you. A lot of times we talk about how teenagers sometimes revolt against strict rules. Teens like a lot of freedom, but sometimes we have to obey those who have authority over us.
A related word is rebel. R-E-B-E-L, to rebel against authority. Here it's revolt, means the same thing. And yes, they could punish those prisoners when they tried to revolt, tried to disobey orders and stuff like that. Well, I think it's time now for us to take a little bit of a break and listen to our Chinese teacher, but stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 今天我们要看的是一个心理的实验。我们来看一下第一个空格这里的句子提到24 participants, all of them Stanford undergraduates, were about to blank one simulated prison life. 大概有24个参加者，那么所有的都是史丹佛的大学生，他们即将要怎么样呢？而后面的 simulated prison life 指的就是模拟的监狱生活。做实验，那么要这些24位的这个参加实验的大学生来体验模拟的监狱生活。所以第一题，我们当然选 J, experience, 在这里当作动词，有体验的意思。第二个空格的句子提到 The volunteers were randomly blanked two into two groups. 我们知道呢，这些志愿者呢，他们要被怎么样的两个团体，所有24个人要被乱数的呢，随机的分成两组。所以搭配文意，第二题我们当然就选 A, divided, 分开或者是分别的意思。第三个空格 ,they were set to blank 3, the experiment for up to 14 days. 他们被设定要怎么样这个实验高达14天。可以搭配 experiment, 像是你去执行或者是做实验。在这里我们可以选 H 选项的 carry out, 就是有执行跟做的意思。在这14天当中发生了一些事情，第四个空格提到 Guards in the prison were given free rein to do as they pleased and punished the prisoners when they tried to blank four. 这些监狱的警卫呢，被赋予不受约束的控制权，所以在囚犯想要怎么样的时候，就可以随心所欲的呢，去处罚他们。当然了，当囚犯想要造反反叛的时候，你就可以处罚这些囚犯。所以根据文意，我们第四题可以选 B, revolt, 在这里有造反反叛的意思。
Okay, everybody, we're going to take a short break, but stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue talking about Philip Zimbardo. This is not related to the subject, but when I hear this name, Zimbardo, I think of Guy Lombardo, who is a famous band leader in the United States. And his version of Auld Lang Syne is very popular around New Year's. That's coming up in a month, so I thought I'd mention that, you know. But in any case, it's kind of off the subject. Let's get back on the subject and talk about Philip Zimbardo's study at the University of Stanford, or Stanford University, I should say, back in the summer of 1971. And he's having this mock prison set up where we've got guards and prisoners. And, hey, the guards were given free rein to do what they wanted and to punish those prisoners as they saw fit. Well, Zimbardo looked on and did nothing as guards imposed psychological torture on the prisoners. That doesn't sound good at all. He looked on and did nothing. He just stood by and let things happen. The guards imposed this psychological torture. To impose means you kind of force your will on somebody. You force something to be accepted or to get people to accept this or to use it and to put it in place. So here he imposed this on them, and usually that's something you don't want to have happen to you. You can say this to people if you're interrupting them. Well, I hate to impose. I don't want to bother you. But here he did this to them, and they didn't have any choice.
A lot of times we use this verb impose to talk about someone using their authority, like a government official or some politicians imposing new taxes, a policeman imposing a fine if you break the law. You can impose punishment on your kids if your parents, because you have authority over them. Well, he let the guards impose psychological torture on the prisoners. So they would torture the prisoners, but only by saying things. They couldn't actually hit them. That's physical torture. Mm. This is using your mind to hurt someone or make them feel weak or scared, maybe even terrified. Who knows what they were saying? The treatment was degrading. If something's degrading, or if you treat someone in a degrading way, you treat them very poorly. You don't respect them. You make them feel like they're not very important and that you can do anything you want.
Right. It's so degrading, you might hear people say, that, hey, I have to repeat the first grade. It's so degrading. I feel so humiliated. I've lost all my self-respect. So here, yes, that psychological torture was degrading to the prisoners. But, hey, Zimbardo stood there and allowed it to continue. But then his girlfriend found out what was going on, and she objected to the experiment, and Zimbardo ended it early. So the girlfriend got involved. She said, how can you let that continue like that? I mean, I know you're trying to conduct this research and try to figure out human psychology, but, hey, people are being tortured there. They're actually taking it seriously. We've got guards doing whatever they want with these people. I think that's too much there, Phil. You got to stop this. And so he said, yes, dear, you're right. And so he ended it. Now, in this sentence, we have the phrase to object to something. If you object to something, that means you disagree with it and you tell people you disagree with it and you want it changed or stopped.
Now, Zimbardo concluded that given the right circumstances, the right situation, seemingly ordinary people can be cruel. People that would normally never think of being cruel to others suddenly turned into these cruel monsters. Circumstances just means the way something happens, the specific details of the event. These 24 subjects were all common students. who didn't have any criminal background. None of them had ever been in prison or arrested. They were good kids. If you're a subject, here it just means you're part of a study, a research study or an experiment. So we call you subjects because you're the person that's being used in the experiment. So they really were good kids, but once they were put into this situation, they changed.
Right. These are the right circumstances. You could also say conditions if you are in a situation where you can actually do something to other people and you can do whatever you want. Hey, people become monsters. So again, as you said, they were all common students. They did not have any criminal background. They were never caught for robbing a bank or things like that. However, in the mock prison, the guards became aggressive and abusive. That doesn't sound very nice. This is not only a prison, but it's a mock prison, which means it's not a real prison. Mock here, being used as an adjective, just means it's a pretend prison. They just made it up. Mock as a verb means you kind of make fun of somebody. But in this case here, mock just means a prison that is just set up for the purposes of this experiment.
Now, in this mock prison, the guards became aggressive. If you're aggressive, you use force to get what you want or to do something. You're very forceful. They're also abusive, which means you probably were hearing the guards use insulting language, harsh language, maybe swearing at the other students. If you're abusive, you can also use physical force or violence or even emotional or psychological cruelty. We talked about how they were tortured psychologically. Well, the prisoners also were kind of funny. They were submissive and desperate.
Ooh.
If you're submissive, you're willing to obey what someone else tells you to do. You're just like, whatever you want. Sure, yes, I'll do it. So they kind of give up and do whatever the guards want them to do. They were also described as being desperate. If you're desperate, you have no hope. And you're also very, very upset. They probably wanted to get out of there.
Your situation is bad and you can't do anything about it. It's impossible to get out of it. So yes, the prisoners were submissive and they were desperate. Doesn't sound good.
No.
And even Zimbardo became engrossed in his role and let the mistreatments continue. Now, if you are engrossed in something, that means you are involved in something a lot, very much so, and it's very difficult for you to be pulled out of it. I know some people are addicted to video games, and they become so engrossed in their games, it's impossible to get them to turn off that computer and go for a walk and get some exercise. They just want to sit there all night long and play that game. They're so engrossed in it. They're so involved in it.
With engrossed, you can either use the verb be or get. Be engrossed in something or get engrossed in something. This was a landmark psychological study. If something's a landmark study, it means it was very, very important for the whole area or field of psychology. A lot of people looked at it as being a very important study that needed more follow-up experiments.
Or a landmark decision, for example, by the court. And it demonstrates how strong a role environment plays in human behavior. It demonstrates, it shows us this. To demonstrate, of course, means to show people and to explain something to them that they don't understand.
Yeah, he later confessed in his book called The Lucifer Effect. If you confess something, you just say, well, this is really what happened. He said, well, only a few people were able to resist the situational temptations. If you resist something, you remain very strong, even though you're affected by something. You can also resist things like chocolate by preventing yourself from eating it when you really want it. So they were able to resist using that power to hurt others. Only a few people were able to. Temptations are anything that give you a very strong desire to have or do something.
Exactly. And even the nicest people, the angels amongst us, just had difficulty yielding to power. If you yield to something, that means you kind of back off from it, back away, and you let that thing take over. You submit to it.
You stop resisting.
That's right. And hey, you go for that power. Hey, I'm a prison guard here. I'm going to be cruel to these people, even though I'm really nice. I never hurt animals. But hey, I've got the power now. I'm going to use it. And also we've got dominance here. Dominance refers to a situation in which you dominate other people. You control them And you also want to maintain some semblance of morality and decency. Semblance here just means something that looks like something. And morality, of course, is knowing right from wrong. And decency means, hey, you're decent, you follow morals, and you're a good, outstanding citizen.
Yeah, you're polite, you're moral, you're honest, and your attitudes show that you respect other people. So this was a very interesting study. We hope that you learned some good words through this article as well. There's some great words in here. Right now, we're going to listen to more from our Chinese teacher.
当然这些人呢受到了许多的精神折磨。然后我们来看一下第五个空格的句子写着 The treatment was degrading, but Zimbardo blank five it to continue. 这里的 Zimbardo 就指的就是整个实验的主持人。整个这样子对囚犯的对待是相当羞辱人的 degrading, 但是 Zimbardo number 5, 第五个空格却允许这样子的事情持续当中。第五题我们可以选 I 选项的 allowed A to do something, 就是允许 A 去做什么事情。直到呢有人发现这样不对劲，实验就立刻的终止。当然这个实验做了怎么样的结论呢？第六个空格的句子提到 Zimbardo concluded that given the right blank six, seemingly ordinary people can be cruel. 这里要讲的就是下了一个结论，在这样子的条件当中，那么表面上看起来是正常的人都有可能会变得很残酷的。搭配文意，第六题我们可以选 F 选项的 circumstances, 指的是情况、状况。所以 given the right circumstances, 指的就是在条件充分的情况下，平常人也可能会变得很残酷。The 24 subjects were all blank 7 students without any criminal background. 24位的受试者呢，都是怎么样的学生，也没有任何罪犯的记录。第七题搭配文意，我们可以选 C, common, 在这里指的是普通的意思。第八个空格，但是在这样子的模拟监狱当中 ,the guards became blank eight and abusive, while the prisoners were submissive and desperate. 在这监狱当中呢 ,guards, 警卫变得怎么样 ,and abusive 指的是有虐待倾向的。然而这些呢这个监狱的囚犯则是服从跟绝望。来搭配 abusive 这个形容词，第八题我们可以选 G, aggressive 指的是好斗的，指的是这些警卫呢既好斗又有虐待的倾向。第九个空格 This landmark psychology study demonstrates how strong a role environment plays in human blank nine.从这样子的心理学的研究当中，就可以显示出环境在人类的什么当中扮演了一个很重要的角色。第九题，我们可以选择 D 选项的 behavior, 因为你会看到人的行为开始改变。而在 Zimbardo 呢，他的书当中就提到 Only a few people were able to resist the situational temptations to blank 10 power and dominance. 当然了，只有很少数的人可以能够对抗环境的诱惑 The situational temptations to 怎么样 power and dominance.第十题我们可以选择 yield to, 解释成为屈服于。很少人能够拒绝环境的诱惑而不屈服于权力跟支配地位之下。
That's all the time we have for today, everybody. Thanks for joining us. And, hey, next time you take power, try not to abuse your power and be nice to your submissive underlings. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.